the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Attend a funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. Together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to have a return engagement from one of my most popular guests. When I become optimistic and think things are going fairly well, I like to consult with Jack Mullen to give me a hard dose of his much more pessimistic view. Today, for example, I'm reflecting on the fact that the Michigan governor's draconian emergency orders regarding COVID safety, Gretchen Whitmer, who appears to have been cracking down on the residents of Michigan in an ill-fated effort to nominate herself for vice president, have been ruled unconstitutional by the Michigan Supreme Court, where the attorney who brought the case says, burn your mask and forget COVID emergency orders after the state Supreme Court decision. We have the president returning from Walter Reed, taking off his mask, telling the public not to fear COVID. But while I may regard these matters in a positive way, I have no doubt my guest today will interpret them in a different way. Let me also add, we have tomorrow night the vice presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence, where I expect this Michigan decision will be a centerpiece, and where they will both show up in the real, whereas Joe Biden had a stand-in for him, a body double, who had different ears and different eyes and a different chin and even ties his tie in a different way, clearly a fraud, a body double, where Hillary Clinton paved the way using 6 or 8 body doubles. For those who'd like to see the documentation, check out my fake news issues of identity, versions of which are available both on BitChute and on 153news.net. And where if you go to JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, you'll find my latest version, which even includes discussion of Kamala, who's actually a far less interesting case than the others. Jack, welcome back to The Raw Deal.
Always forget to unmute my mic. Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me on today.
It's a good idea, only if you want to be heard.
Correct. Anyway, it takes me just a few minutes to talk like a fool and no one hears me. And anyway, yeah, I know I see lots of good things happening, too. I don't always want to rain on your parade, which I've done a few times in the past. But thanks for having me back to talk about good stuff, too. I see there's a new Crimes Against Humanity class action lawsuit against pandemic authorities. And I just recently saw this article a few minutes before we started talking here. But I was looking for stuff like this, but apparently this individual, whose name is Reiner Fulmick, is a lawyer with 2 decades experience challenging large corporations for unethical practice. And now he's turned his attention to the brazen fraud committed by the relatively small international syndicate of criminals posing as health professionals. And so there is a over on Red Pill University, you can see a video of this individual presenting his case. And meaning summarizing what he plans to do. But from the list of items in here that he's planning to attack, it includes most all the aspects of this COVID-19 coronavirus hoax. And, when you think about it, this is something I've been writing about. I hadn't finished an article, but we are in a situation where a lot of people are waking up, and it's wonderful to see. You can see it in people out, even though people are still wearing their masks. You can see them wearing them only when they're told they have to put them on, or as they walk into a building and immediately off as they come out. And you can see it in, the lawsuits that are springing up around the country, like the one in Ohio and the one that's underway in Pennsylvania, and it won. The federal judge concluded that they had acted unconstitutionally. And it's interesting that, the way the state reacted to that, too, by attempting to maintain the masking and all that sort of stuff. But you can see that it's falling away in a lot of places. And what concerns me about that, and I've got to have some concern, obviously, I'm on your show, is that it means that the exposure of these criminals is, rapidly unveiling a whole list of participants, people that are behind the idea of maybe suing somebody or another, going after these groups of front men. There's an organization in Germany called the Doctors for Information, and they just published a paper claiming that the entire thing is a swindle, and it's a scam, they say. It's a high time we understood that we're in the midst of a global crime. This was 500 medical doctors in Germany. And, this means that people everywhere are starting to catch on. And so what's going to happen? That's the key thing. I mean, that's what it brings me to. We're living right now in a time when there are so many rivers coming into the confluence. We have rivers of people awakening. We see a complete wipeout of the way in which we understand medicine over the past several hundred years. We've seen major medical figures throw out the Pasteur model and the germ theory and now make broad sweeping general claims that, there are no such things as germs in the sense we were told, and that these can't be transmitted from persons to persons. We see now that viruses are really misnamed. They should be called exosomes, which is something that the cells create themselves. We see written documentation that during the 1918 so-called pandemic, that it was impossible for it to have been caused by contagion that people couldn't have transmitted to another. It proceeded around the world far too rapidly. And it also was demonstrated in the in various places and written in many books. But the hospital in Boston, I always have trouble remembering its name, Boston Mercy, I think at the time, or something similar to that, had conducted a study with federal money trying to show how it was transmitted by contagious influences, either through touch, coughing, in even injection of the fluids, and they were unable to do it, not produce a single case. They could not take a single non-sick individual and produce any method to make him sick using fluids, body serums, blood, anything from a very sick person, right down to kissing them. There was no way to make them sick. And so 100 people attempted this for 4 months. They gave up. So we see, you know, we're overturning these ideas that vaccines are of any value. And in fact, we now know that they only do harm. And this is something that I think is fantastic, but it is one of the reasons that these rivers are converging on a center spot. We have the great enlightening, and then we have this great darkness that is coming down the other river. And the people behind that darkness, their exposure is something they're not going to take very lightly. And since they control everything, they control the media and the money and the military. They control the power plants and the ATM machines. They control the food stores and the transportation systems. And so we know that they're going to bring a big fight. And this is something we're clearly in the calm of the storm. Obviously, the storm has started, Trump's storm. We still have a few weeks left here maybe to think about making preparations for this. It's impossible that there won't be retaliation, that we won't have false flags. I mean, I can think reasonably. I can see how this is not going to turn out where we see Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci standing before a jury getting the guilty verdict. These men are far too powerful, and in the case of Bill Gates, too well protected. I mean, I could see them throwing Fauci into the pen to have him mauled by the dogs, but Gates and others, they're fair-haired kids. So what I expect to see is something. I mean, some sort of event, whether it's another false flag event. A lot of people in certain circles are talking about these asteroids that are supposedly coming near to the Earth, and some of them towards the beginning of November and the last part of October, supposedly getting within a tenth of the distance between the Earth and the Moon. Are we going to see what others are predicting is a storm of meteorites or asteroids hitting the Earth? In my opinion, they wouldn't be asteroids or meteorites hitting the Earth, but rather something more conventional, or some sort of weapon that would appear to be a meteorite, but would in fact be some sort of bomb type thing. But regardless, and then of course we just had the interesting event with Trump, and there's so much to be said about its meaning and how it was done and the religious context within which it was appears to have happened. It was 33 days before the election. It has overtones of Christianity, and that Trump went in on a Friday with a deadly disease and emerged on Monday, 3 days later, with a clean bill of health. These are all things that are not likely to be something that happened naturally. And so, we know that Trump is a big player in this situation. And in my opinion, he's leading the pack. He's going to be the person that is used to, and has been used, to quote Chuck Baldwin, to disarm the American middle class, especially the white people, from doing anything negative against this coronavirus takedown. And in fact, without Trump, that could not have happened. We know that the coronavirus is a hoax now. We're 100% convinced of it. The CDC has recently just released new information about infection rates that make it seem highly improbable. I mean, for example, the infection rate for children under 19 is one in three infection to mortality rate. In other words, if you get infected with it, do you die? 1 in 3 million with their numbers. But we see other articles, one done by some UCLA study group that says even people aged 50 through 64, I think, their chances of dying were 1 in 19 million. So we know that that's just what we would call rounding errors or background noise. You're more likely to die of, say, pancreatic cancer. 1 out of 60 people in general will die of pancreatic cancer, according to the rates that I got at the CDC. So I don't think there's any concern about a coronavirus. So what we definitely have here is, for any thinking person, is something that is attempting to destroy the American economy, Western civilization's economy, to introduce new methods of control that have never been done, especially to white civilizations, especially to people who have come from the Magna Carta through the Constitution of the United States, and then now standing, more than 1,000 years of history of individual freedom and liberty, suddenly, like in Melbourne, Australia, transformed into basically communist citizens, you know, people that are restricted in their travel, restricted in their gathering, and what they can do, how they can work, where they can work. And we see that they have more of this on the table for us here in the country. So it's an exciting time, I guess. If you got to go through something, it might as well be this. But the thing is, we're planned to be our population has been planned to take a rapid nosedive. And it is not something that's debatable anymore that white people are the primary target of the first round of population reduction. And those large numbers of white people, which there aren't very many anymore, I don't know, it's maybe 6% of the total world's population, are mostly contained in the United States and then Europe and then Australia and New Zealand. And then outside of that, we have them. Various little places like South Africa. So we see that the United States and Italy are two of the nations that are slated for large population decreases, according to Deagle.com. And there was one other, I don't remember whether it was Spain, one other white civilization was also set for something like a 30% population decline. And according to their data, and Italy was about 48%, and of course the United States 70%. So even though I see a lot of good things, and I like what you pointed out, Jim, and I'm 100% behind them, and I'm trying with every bit of energy I have to make people aware of what's going on by creating flyers and hand delivering them. I still see the possibility that what they have coming for us next will disrupt our ability to continue this process. So, for example, if you starve people, if you blow up their power grid, if you take out their ATM machines, and the list goes on and on, if you bomb them with fake asteroids, these things change quickly. And the court systems shut down. We saw court systems shutting down just with the corona hoax. So imagine if there was something really to be concerned about. And so I'm just hoping that people can get this done quickly. But by quickly, I mean, maybe before the end of the year, maybe before the election, because we never know what's going to happen next after this election, or even if the election's going to happen, or if Trump's going to be taken out by some mysterious force, and then we're led into, just a massive amount of disappointment and depression on the part of the white supporters and the QAnon fans. And in the meantime, the left becomes incensed and goes happy crazy that they've taken down the arch enemy of the left and so forth. So we don't know what's coming. All we know is that we see some good things on the horizon, and we hope that it can get done. But everybody's got to go out and do their part now. They've got to tell people what's going on here, completely refute the Corona hoax, no more masks, no more social distancing. And, you know, that's where we are right now.
Well, I think that was a wonderful commentary, Jack, and just what I hope to have from you today. Let me respond to several aspects of what you've had to say here about the fatality rate from the coronavirus. You're spot on that it's extremely remote. Brit Hume initiated a thread where he was retweeting that despite over 70,000 coronavirus tests at 50 major universities, barely any reported hospitalizations, a total of 3, and no deaths, which led to a further summarization of the risk, including, this is based on CDC evidence, their own tables, the survival rate between the ages of 0 and 19 is 99.997%. The ages 20 to 49, 99.98%, 50 to 69, 99.5%, age 70 plus, 94.6%. So it's pretty evident that college kids aren't really at risk, nor is most of the population, where those over 70, of course, are at greater risk because Trump's over 74, or is that's Biden's age, I think, 74. Trump is in a higher risk category, but still it's very remote. We have poll data that actually looks to be legitimate, unlike most of that, which is deliberately oversampling Democrats and progressives to make it look as though Biden is far in the lead. I think the situation is precisely the opposite. It becomes obvious when you look at the relative crowds they're drawing. Where in Duluth, Biden, when he was downtown, there were 200 curiosity seekers, but when he held his rally in the Carpenters Union Hall, he only had a dozen supporters there. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Minnesota, Trump was drawing tens of thousands. When Trump came to Kenosha, there was a string of citizens out to greet him 5 miles long. When Biden came, there was a school teacher out there as a cheerleading crowd. I mean, it was completely ridiculous. He eventually had a meeting with supporters in a backyard, and I think there might have been a total of 12. So, you know, all the stuff we're being told about the enthusiasm for Biden is actually contradicted by obvious evidence. Here's a from Poll Watch that I think is accurate. Breaking Democracy Institute poll shows Trump leading nationally in key battleground states and in the Electoral College. Nationally, Trump by 1, 46 to 45. In 6 battleground states of Florida, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Trump by 4, 47 to 43. His approval rating, 50%. He's now ahead in Florida, Minnesota, and New Hampshire, and in the Electoral College. In Florida, 48 to 44. Minnesota, 45 to 44. In New Hampshire, 45 to 43. In the Electoral College projections, Trump, 320 to Biden, 218. Actually, it's going to be much more decisive than that, I have no doubt. Where we have, according to this poll result, 18% of blacks planning to support Trump, but we've seen much higher numbers in the past. Rasmussen, for example, had over 40% of blacks supporting Trump way back in December, and I can assure you the number has not diminished. This poll is showing 40% of Hispanics. I think that's increasing, too. After the first presidential debate, Telemundo, which is a left-leaning Spanish-language television program, had an unscientific survey, but it was 66 to 34 in favor of Trump, 2 to 1. Will Trump be reelected? Yes, 61%, no, 39%. The impact of Trump's illness, 68% say will not affect their vote. 19% say it makes them more likely to vote for Trump, 13% less likely. So there's a 6% advantage to the extent to which it's affecting anyone, 6% more. are finding it more likely to vote for him than less. Law and order remains a top issue in the election, 32%. The economy, second, 30%. This is all based on likely voters. Where the Democracy Institute correctly predicted Brexit and Trump's 2016 electoral win. So although the president was in the hospital at the time, things are looking up for him in the upcoming election. Now, you mentioned the asteroid thing. Yes, I have a good friend with excellent connections pointing out that there's a weapon. It's a kinetic weapon called the Rods of God that could be fired from satellites in space that would be explained away as the impact of asteroids. So I think you're 100% correct on that. And I do agree that, you know, it needs to rapidly unfold that this whole thing has been based upon illegal and unconstitutional measures, that the actual risk from COVID is minuscule, as you have been properly emphasizing. But where I think the timing and proximity of the election is actually fortuitous, a couple of weeks for this to unfold, and then most, you know, the elections are traditionally, though I think not so much in this case, decided the last couple of weeks. I think the public's going to be infuriated by the massive destruction to businesses, to human life, the suicide rate, cutting children away from education. These are going to have very consequential ramifications, and it's been the Democrats, the Democrat governors, the Democrat mayors have been pursuing it, where Wilmer in Michigan is simply the poster child for Democrat abuse of the law. I think there's going to be a lot of public fury, and they're going to take it out in the election. And although the Democrats are going to do everything they can to sabotage using mail-in ballots to swamp, even if it were eventually thrown into the House, as the Constitution specifies, if neither party gets 270, which I do not expect to be the case even remotely, it turns out that it must be done immediately by the House, which would mean the current existing Congress, not a future Congress, where the current existing Congress controls 20, Republicans control 26 of the states, which means that even under that scenario, the Republicans would prevail and the Democrats will lose. Jack, I'm so glad you're here. We'll be right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia.
at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Jack, I'm so pleased to have you here, and I want to invite your rebuttal, but I got to tell you how good I feel that you were not completely negative about the situation we're in today. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to be negative, and I think I was most negative about watching these American people and people in Australia and other places, just do what they were told and start as though they're little Chinese.
Cool. Hang on, Jack. We seem to have some interference there. I don't know. Mitchell, can you control that? Or that it ran the break from the top of the hour early, prematurely. So, Mitchell, do you need to run? Are we okay? Jack, go ahead.
So anyway, I was most disappointed with the people, you know, seeing them not respond in any way aggressive against what was clearly not something that was dangerous. In the article that I wrote, Isn't It Time to Stop Pretending There's a Pandemic, which you published, and thank you. I did the total death counts, you know, for the last, since 2017, so 17, 18, 19, and 20, and did them by weeks for deaths of all causes. In the United States, and the rate fell. I mean, the number of people per week dropped in 2020 by 7% on average over the other 3 years. So, you know, there's no one that could be saying to themselves, "I'm seeing people die all over the place." You know, like we're watching the movie Contagion, and there's no word of whole families dying, et cetera. And in fact, it's always the elderly that are dying, And, you know, that's one of the places where this fraud took a lot of lives, and a lot of people need to pay for that, especially in New York State, I think, with Cuomo being the top of my list. But, you know, I was disappointed by the fact that people, I mean, they refuse to think at all. They have to be thought for. They have to have somebody else give them their opinions. Everything has to be secondhand thought. And they won't even stand up and say, you know, I can't breathe normally because I have asthma or whatever I have. So I'm not going to wear a mask whether you like it or not. They won't even do that. So I was disappointed with them. I am seeing, you know, like I said, a lot of interesting things happen. There was a writer in the UK that just introduced a lawsuit against the members of parliament. I can't think of his name, Bernuccia, something similar to that. And he did a very extensive list of items that he the charges that he was bringing against the MPs, and gave them till the end of October to do something about this entirely, or he was going to continue his lawsuit against each one of these people individually. And so, you know, it's something. He served notice of private criminal prosecution for pandemic fraud. I just found it in my notes here. And so, you know, we see these things happening. We see people out in England for protests against another draconian lockdown in Britain and the rest of the UK. And so, you know, we see David Icke leading the cheers of 1,000 people. But then we note in the second one that as soon as David Icke was off the stage, within a few minutes, the police were there and they were beating people up. So it isn't as though there are enough people rising up to stand up against the military style dress and behavior of the police that are being, you know, sent against these people. And we see the same thing in Australia, where we have a terrible abuse of Western history and legacy in terms of how they treat people and the idea of rights. And in Australia, I mean, it's beyond belief. It apparently is a test case, and it is being decided whether a Western man will stand up at all. When Australians are still armed in the sense that they can own weapons, but they can't. And they have to go through a lot of hoops to own weapons, and they have to be a certain type of weapon, et cetera. Not like in the United States, where we still have, you know, maybe 300 million guns. And so I'm saying, for the record, in my opinion, that the United States is the last hope of humanity, and has been so since the founding fathers came up with the idea that there would be a nation where the citizens would be the sovereigns and the government would be working as an agent of the people. And so I think that we, as a people, we have an obligation to the rest of the world, in particular to those of our own type. And that includes everybody brought up in Western civilization, to use what we have still remaining. We still have the right to speak mostly freely. Now, we have organizations in this country that are subversive. They have been infiltrated and now belong to the enemy. And at this point, you know, the enemy will include the globalist empire of bankers and the 2,000-year-old Zionist ideology of destroying Western civilization and taking the non-Jewish people and enslaving them for the rest of eternity. So, you know, we have this in the background, and it is only the whites left remaining in the United States and others that are armed in this world and that can stand against this. This is it. This is the last. This is the final battle, as far as I can tell. And I wanted to bring into this conversation that I went this past week with Stephanie Sledge to the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Organization of America's convention or yearly meeting, which they had in Lynchburg, Virginia, at Liberty University. And I found that very interesting, as I've become a pretty good friend of Chuck Baldwin, Dr. Chuck Baldwin, and he's a Christian pastor, but he's a Christian. And that word has to be, put into quotation marks, pastor, and not a student of Christian Zionism any longer. At one time, Chuck Baldwin was a student of Christian Zionism, and he went to Liberty University and graduated from there with his first degree in some sort of theology type degree. And it's interesting that the Constitutional Sheriffs had their meeting there, because it is a bastion of what has caused the destruction of the United States as a result of the reduction in rights and the coronavirus and the decades and decades of infiltration by this religious fanatic cult, the Chabad-Lubavitch Orthodox Jewry, that continues to strangle the Western world. And these people at Liberty University teach the modern version of Christian Zionism. You know, they profess the Scofield Bible rendition of Christianity, and Chuck Bowen names them as one of the primary misleaders of humanity. But anyway, I got a chance to go to this meeting, and it was very, very, I mean, it was very refreshing. There may have been some 50 or more sheriffs from around the nation, plus deputies, et cetera, filling a room with several hundred. It was just everybody was wearing their weapons. It was one of the most comfortable environments you could be in. There was none of the feeling you get when you're around the state and their police and or in any kind of government building, courthouse, et cetera, where you've just gone through every type of search. And just an unbelievably refreshing feeling with these sheriffs there. And these were real men. These are men that believe in the United States of America. They understand the Constitution. They respect individual liberty. They have no interest in enforcing unconstitutional law. And they made these declarations while they were there. There were a great many of very courageous sheriffs, like Sheriff Dar Leaf from Michigan. He's from Berry County in Michigan. He was the one that Fox News had on early on when that woman governor had decided that everyone had to stay home, and that included not being able to even go out on the lakes and in boats and using or forerunners and things like this that you could, four wheelers that you could run through the woods, et cetera. And Dar Leaf made, a little splash there by telling the people that he wasn't planning on enforcing any of that, and that the people could enjoy the lakes and use their boats and travel around on their property, on their machines, without any concern about the police, at least from his point of view. And these sheriffs, you know, they all stood up and told a similar story. We had several people from the West, from Nevada, and Arizona, big men coming in wearing their cowboy hats and telling stories about standing up to the government. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink here.
Sure.
And explaining that, you know, in their counties, they are the highest law of the land. They are sacrosanct. They can't basically be influenced by any component of our existing structures, like the county commissioners can't tell them what to do. The state can't overrule them, and they can't be fired. And so when they decide that they're not going to enforce masking and social distancing, et cetera, that's going to be the law of that county. And so the purpose of this organization now, along with the leader of it, Sheriff Mack, who is an amazing man, somebody that I've followed for a number of years, Sheriff Richard Mack. He's originally an Arizona sheriff, and he got a Supreme Court decision, a case for state sovereignty. It was called Mack Prince versus the USA, and it was a monumental Supreme Court case that restored 10th Amendment power to the state, and especially to the sheriffs, and in which case that the outcome of this, which Judge Scalia happened to write the majority opinion, was that sheriffs were the final and highest authority in the state, and in the county, in terms of the law. So this particular proceeding this case, this Supreme Court case, one of the things that I underlined here that was said in the by Judge Scalia in his opinion was that the federal government may not compel the states to enact or administer a federal regulatory program. So there are all sorts of little goodies that came out of this, in addition to the fact that, you know, the sheriffs could not be fired by the state, which was one of the reasons that this case went to court, but it was also had to do with what was the name of that individual that got shot in D.C. And ended up in a wheelchair, and we got that act that was a result of him.
Brady. James Brady.
Yeah, Brady. Yeah, it had to do with having to enforce the Brady gun bill. And Sheriff Mack was...
Reagan's press secretary was shot in the Hinckley shooting.
That's what it was. And so anyway, it's just a beautiful thing to be around a group of people that understand the Constitution and what it would be like to live in that world again, where there were, I mean, these people were basically saying, we're not, if a law is clearly unconstitutional and it doesn't have to be related to coronavirus, they're just not going to enforce it. And you know, this is just a breath of fresh air. And so the mission of this organization is to try to enlist as many constitutional sheriffs in the country that would like to become part of the program, and to educate other sheriffs who don't know whether they want to become part of the program or not, because they've created coursework and other outreach materials that can be used to help an individual get up to speed on the Constitution. And then it's also designed to give you ideas on how you can influence local elections or become a candidate for the position of sheriff yourself if you happen to be constitutional oriented. And so anyway, I recommend to anybody that's listening that hadn't heard of these guys or has some interest in it to go to their website, the CSPOA.org, and start with, you know, their preliminary information. And for people that are interested in becoming part of this organization and want to become active in their state, I've recently helped co-develop a new networking similar to a social network. It's a website, and it's called mypatriotsnetwork.com. And the CSPOA is one of the featured organizations on this particular group. And so is Jim Fetzer, and Dr. Fetzer will have his channel up before long as well. But this is a place where you can learn more about the sheriff's organization and how maybe you can participate in your state to become a group member on this channel, and then have subgroups, and then you can interact with people in the county trying to, you know, get cooperation maybe during election, et cetera. And there's some very wonderful videos on here done by Sheriff Richard Mack. And I don't want to make that sound like a commercial, but it was so overwhelming to be in that group of people. Nobody in there wearing masks. We all walk into the university, and the university has people wearing masks, and the university police are all masked up like, you know, they're Darth Vader. And every one of these people just walked straight in and, you know, went and carried about their business, even when going out for lunch and so forth, without any concern for the corona hoax. And it was stated by all every single individual sheriff that stood up that they believed that it was a hoax, that it had been exposed as a hoax. And several sheriffs said that they plan to go to their local health departments and tell them that they will no longer try to threaten people with some form of retribution for not wearing masks, that in fact in that county masks were not required, and masks are not required with their deputies, etc. And this is just a wonderful thing. And so you know, it took me a while to get over that. But anyway, if that interests you, that's another bit of good news.
Oh, it's exhilarating, Jack. I was just here in awe just listening to every single word. That's fascinating and wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. What a positive development. I can't imagine more. That's just sensational.
It is. And, you know, I don't know how many sheriffs are out there. They don't feel like they have a total number, but more and more sheriffs are getting in touch with Sheriff Mack. And there's one or two other organizations that also interact with sheriffs that are constitutionally based. But for the people that don't really understand, the sheriff is the place, and I wrote an article where the Constitution meets the people, where I explain this in detail. The sheriff is the, like, where the, you know, the end of the road. If the Constitution is ever going to survive, the last place that it has a chance in terms of the law is with the county sheriff. He's elected by the people. He has no influence. He's not influenced by the politics of the county, except for the fact that they do have control over how he is paid. And that's one of the things that they're working with too, is trying to modify these states so that the system under which they get paid can't be interfered with politically. But that's not the case now, and it can be. And, you know, in some states like the miserably corrupt Connecticut, they have entirely eliminated the sheriff's department by doing a vote and having the people claim that they're going to be, you know, they have a right to remove the sheriff's department. That's probably something that's not true either, because the sheriffs predate the Constitution. They've been here for a long, long time. And so, you know, that's something that people need to look into. I see the Biden family has made the sheriffs in Delaware go away. And there's a couple other states that are either have powerless sheriffs or none whatsoever. And that's something everybody needs to keep an eye on if they're, you know, because the sheriffs are that powerful that if they decide, you know, as a group that this isn't going to happen, that they're not going to permit this takedown, then, you know, these devious politicians will come up with some other means to attempt to get rid of them. And Sheriff Mack's there to answer questions on how to make that stop, too. And also, I met I listened to an interesting senator from the state of Virginia, which we know the state of Virginia is heavily under attack. Their Second Amendment is constantly under attack. They've been told they're going to have forced vaccination. Their governor is a raving socialist lunatic, a member of the, you know, Marxist communist card-carrying group of governors in the United States. But there was a state senator there, she was quite lively. I'm trying to find her name right now, but she was somebody that got up and said, you know, she's running for sheriff. The election is next year. Her name is Amanda Chase, and that she's 100% constitutional and 100% Second Amendment and 100% against the coronavirus. And she named those people in the state government as Marxist, and she claimed that this was, you know, a communist infiltration. And for this group that was largely religious as their undermining or as their foundation, those kind of words, you know, they weren't as freely spoken as other words like unconstitutional and violates the law, et cetera. So this group of people, you know, they need to be maybe brought to speed a little bit about what political events are happening and who's behind this. As long as they understand the Constitution, we shouldn't have any worries. And here in the state of West Virginia, I'm personally supporting a candidate who's running for a write-in, and I think he has a good chance. I mean, he decided at the last minute that he would get into the race because the other constitutional candidate was not elected in the primary election. And so he jumped in. His name is Marshall Wilson. And he's another individual who I spoke to personally who is 100% behind the Constitution, that he wants to restore all of the natural rights of the state and individual liberties basically keep it as the republic was set up. So there are people like these in the various counties, and I wholeheartedly recommend, if you know of any or whatever, do something for them. Get on board, help them out, because to get this country back is going to be done by just pick and shovel work, because the enemy is vastly outnumbering us in terms of operatives, vastly much more. They're highly financed, vastly more financed than we are. They have access to the mainstream media, which is a lost cause. So we have enemies of the United States operating in charge of our institutions and in charge of our media and the social media platforms. These are enemies: Facebook, YouTube, Google, et cetera. Twitter. We see Twitter donating large sums of money to Antifa. We see all of the major Fortune 500 companies or the Fortune 100 companies donating to terrorist organizations like Black Lives Matter, which was something that was discussed heavily there. And there were lots of black sheriffs there. They all were 100% in agreement with the fact that if you're being funded by communists, if your plan is to cause destruction, if you are attempting to overthrow the Constitution in any way, shape, or form, then you're a terrorist organization. And there's no other definition that can be given. And to be given some misleading name like Black Lives Matters is itself weaponized language. Obviously, when you're saying something negative about Black Lives Matter, you're not saying that Black lives don't matter. But for a lot of people, that's used as an argument or as a wedge in a conversation. But that's not the case. And so we have these Fortune 100 companies, people that we shop at every day at Walmart and Jeff Bezos, and these people that are getting more wealthy with each moment of every day, while the middle class is being destroyed. And the underclass is soon going to be reduced to just beggars, as far as I can tell. You know, so the large mass die-off that they're talking about and planning have to come from this, from the middle class down. And these people they're under attack. While wearing a mask and social distancing, they're supporting the very thing that is going to cause them to possibly starve to death. And, Jim, we can talk about, the economy, and we can talk about what's happening to the food supply. And the trade deficit as it explodes, how it is that, fewer and fewer things that people need are being imported, et cetera. And how this is going to play out, especially as we go into the spring of next year. So it's a very complicated situation. There are a lot of good things happening. And at the same time, the enemy is aware of these good things. And I'm certain that they're way ahead of us, maybe 5 years ahead of us on how they're going to respond. And that's why people have to respond in a different way. You can't be the way you've always been. You can't go along to get along. You have to make a sudden turn for, I might be embarrassed, or somebody might call me something.
And Jack, just sensational stuff. We'll be right back after the break. I'll give you the number to call in for questions for me or Jack Mullen. Be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's great having Jack Mullen back here on the air again, and I've just been ecstatic about everything he's had to say. This has been utterly fascinating. Now, those of you who would like to call in, Mitchell is here to field your calls. The number 540-352-4452. You might want to make a note of that because it's the same number when Mitch is producing. You can always count on that. 540-352-4452. Before we start to take calls, Mitchell notified me of a significant publication today from Zero Hedge. DNI, Director of National Intelligence, declassifies Brennan notes. Briefed Obama, that's John Brennan, briefed Obama, that's Barack Hussein Obama, on intelligence that Hillary Clinton concocted the Trump-Russia allegations. That means a whole bloody damn time we've been played by saps. Barack Obama knew exactly what was going on because he'd been briefed by John Brennan, who's as rotten a figure to ever occupy high position in our intelligence agencies as anyone in our history, and that Hillary had concocted the Trump-Russia allegations. Let me read more. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe, who I gotta say is doing one hell of a job on behalf of the American people, on Tuesday, that would be today, declassified several documents, including handwritten notes from former CIA Director John Brennan after he briefed former President Obama on an alleged plot by Hillary Clinton to tie then-candidate Donald Trump to Russia as a means of distracting the public from her use of a private email server ahead of the 2016 U.S. election. This is stunning stuff that he was briefed directly. We knew these people were all involved, but this is completely disgusting, and I think the timing is exquisite. Ratcliffe declassified Brennan's handwritten notes, which were taken after he briefed Obama on the intelligence the CIA received, and a CIA memo which revealed that officials referred the matter to the FBI for potential investigative action. Well, that's a joke, isn't it? Because the FBI was involved in perpetrating the scam. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence transmitted the declassified documents to the House and Senate Intelligence Committee on Tuesday afternoon, today, at the direction of President Trump. How appropriate. I declassified additional documents relevant to ongoing congressional oversight and investigative activities, Redknapp said in a statement. We're getting additional insight into Russian activities from redacted, read Brennan's notes, site summarizing alleged approved by Hillary Clinton a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming interference by Russian security service. Thank God this is coming out. We've been explaining it. I wrote a whole book about it. Now we're getting the truth. And guess what? Surprise, surprise. Twitter and other social media giants are trying to suppress it. This is huge. Jack, your thoughts. Jack, are you there? Have you muted yourself again, my friend?
Certainly I wouldn't do that and then forget to turn it back on.
Yes. No doubt. Tell us, Jack.
Anyway, I can't really speak to that because I don't have any belief in the two-party paradigm, and to be, you know, not to be disrespectful, I don't think any of these stories are actually really, you know, relevant to what we have to be worried about today. So I don't pay attention to it, but I know that it's important to some people. And certainly for those that have seen Trump be put through the ringer by the left establishment, this is going to be another bit of news. But, you know, Donald suggested that Hillary ought to be in jail way before he was elected. And it was at his inauguration. He's got his hands up, you know, clapping that Bill and Hillary are in the room and what great people they are. And so I'm not, you know, I just believe that all of this is theater. And I suspect that, you know, I could be wrong there. But in the meantime, I think that what we have to be concerned about now is the larger outside pressures on this, what used to be a sovereign nation, to become part of a global colony that dissolves itself or devolves into something that reminds me of the Hunger Games. And I think that is the plan. So, but certainly I also want to say that I don't have any information on that topic. So if I did, I would continue to say something about it more than I just did.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it, Jack. And I understand your general stance. I think that the country was put through 3 years of nonstop Russia hoax bullshit. Yep. And it turns out Barack Obama knew the whole goddamn time. This is as disgusting as it gets. And this is going to drive a stake through the heart of the Democratic Party of what remains of it. After the Marxist communists are swept out of the way, the repulsive remainder are the remnants who believed in Barack Hussein Obama, who grossly betrayed the American people, violated his oath of office by seeking to sabotage the results of our election in 2016, and remained silent and complicit about it. This is as disgusting as it gets. Just as disgusting as it gets. Now, we have a call here from a regular caller, and we'll see what he has to say today, Paul. But I got to tell you, we were on a roll yesterday in getting all this stuff about Sputnik and about no nuclear weapons did not please me. Let me understand, Paul. I don't give a goddamn if you believe it. I think it was a bad thing to have brought in yesterday. Now, welcome to the conversation.
Yeah, well, I take umbrage at what you just said. If you read my text, I didn't bring it up, and I didn't tell anybody to call and talk about it. So,
All right.
I mean,
go ahead, Paul. You seem to me to be aiding and abetting, you know, like you thought this was a great thing to be happening, which I did not.
I put in my 2 cents of what I thought about it, and I still stand by what I said about how do we know what's real and not if we don't really have any inside information, you know.
All right. Move
anyway, on. Having said that, I'm glad that Jack is on. He's one of my favorite guests. I always feel somewhat uplifted, I will say, you know, because I believe he's an actual down-to-earth, real American man. And hearing the earlier part of this show today made me feel like it reminded me of that scene in A Few Good Men where Jack Nicholson says, I suggest you pick a weapon and stand a post. Because that's kind of what I feel is it's coming to. And I think Jack is exactly correct about this beam, you know, our stand that we have to make here in America. This is the white people's stand that has to be made, not just for us, but for the rest of the world. I don't think there's anything more accurate can be said about it. And that's why they're so aggressively making their move here. I don't really think they have a very good chance, in my opinion. Sure, they may have parts of the military compromised, and they may have certain weapons that they can use, but they don't have all of the military. They don't have all of the weapons, and they can only use them here and there in locales. I don't believe they can use anything generally. So I really do think, in my opinion, and I hope it's coming, that we can just get a good clock cleaning going.
As I never tire of observing, we have 130 million armed Americans who aren't going to vote for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. I'd like to broaden the conversation by bringing in Mitchell. Mitchell alerted me to this new report from Zero Hedge about declassifying the Brennan note, showing that Brennan had briefed Obama about Hillary having concocted this completely phony claim that Trump was in collusion with Russia to distract attention from her email server problems. This is a classic Hillary Clinton. I've got a whole book about it. It's, of course, true, but that it's coming out right now seems to me singularly fortuitous. The timing could not be better. Mitchell.
Hey, Jim. Hey, hello, Jack. How you doing? I'm down here in the southern part of Virginia, below Roanoke area. You know, I'm with you. You know, Republican or Democrat Party, neither of them are worth a shit, in all honesty. And, you know, the cabal, you know, the group that has been in charge, really the Clinton-Bush-Clinton crime cartel, as I refer to it, they've been in complete control for the last 30 years of the upper echelons of the U.S. government. So they've run their game, and they've got all their people in place from top to bottom, vertical and horizontally integrated into the government. So Trump's not your standard Republican, or, you know, and that's really, you know, I support Trump. I won't vote for him because he's Republican. Actually, I'll vote for myself and Richard Duncan. He's an independent out of Ohio, and myself as vice president, by the way. We're on the Vermont ballot anyway. So, but the, you know, this bothers me because, you know, both sides are complicit, and Trump is just not their professional political whore. And I think that's a lot of what it really boils down to. So that's why it's important for me.
Jack.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, thank you for your comments. And I agree with you. I don't think, first of all, thank you, Paul. I enjoy our conversations in email. And I just want to, before it slips away, tell you that I think a lot like you do as well. And so it's nice to have you say something nice like that. And anyway, as far as the two-party paradigm is concerned, I every fiber in my body tells me it is entirely theater. It is a mind trap. It's designed to capture and captivate. It leaves people stunned and in an emotional turmoil and gives them a team to root for. And there's still a live audience, and I don't pay attention to it. I mean, there was a long time in my life where I paid attention to it, and I seem to have grown out of it. And I'm not being negative to you, Jim. I'm just saying that I find myself now not being able to even look at people like Hillary Clinton because they're so morally repugnant. They're so disgusting. They are, as the last gentleman said, basically whores. And, you know, I wouldn't even want to touch her physically, you know. And I feel that way about all of the political people that occupy the halls of power in the U.S. federal government and much of the states, or most of the states. And it's so disappointing to see how many states are no longer under the control of anything that was remotely constitutional, and the incredible violations of individual rights. And I will say that I was surprised to see what DeSantis is up to down in Florida in terms of the COVID situation and trying to get people back to work and making comments that, you know, if we keep doing this, we're all going bankrupt. And so if somebody stands up in that fashion, then I'll take notice of them and give them an attaboy. But every state in the union should be opposed to this as they watch their own economies literally just slashed and destroyed, while parasitic groups like BlackRock and the Federal Reserve buy up all the important assets of the United States. I mean, it seems like the Federal Reserve and BlackRock, I mean, the Federal Reserve primarily now owns 33% of the Americans' mortgages and homes through the mortgage-backed securities and the other assets that are tied to mortgages. So, you know, basically they own everyone's property, which was the plan to begin with, because of the way this country is now a corporate state. We really don't own any property. But nonetheless, that's why I have a hard time talking about politics. I have not watched a network newscast or something on Fox or CNN or whatever on a nightly basis in going on 10 years. And so what I think is important is people need to get away from those channels because they are mind controlling, and they literally actually connect to your brain and then give you a sense of reality that's not true. And then you begin to live in that fake reality and participate as a player, much like the Americans are participating as crisis actors in this pretended corona experiment and pandemic.
Precisely. Jack, yeah, precisely, Jack. Yeah.
Let me just add, I watch NBC News as a baseline to see how the mainstream media is covering the stories, so I know how they're going about it. I want to add that I have great respect for Paul's rebuttal to my diatribe that I was too hard on Gary from Arkansas, who is trying to raise issues in which he profoundly believes. And even though, you know, I'm a skeptic, I think Sputnik was the real deal. It would have been easy for the U.S. to disprove it if it hadn't been real. I mean, radar is not a novelty. So, you know, and the idea of disputing nuclear weapons to me is such a fantasy. The reason I was upset is because we were on a real roll talking about these issues like those we're talking about today, and I was unhappy to have been distracted because the timeline is so short in relation to the election. But, Paul, I really like how you replied to my condemnation. That was very good. And, Jack, I think, you know, you are just doing a superior job, and I appreciate your overlap with Paul and with Mitchell as well. I mean, Mitchell right there in Virginia, where he's got to put up with these monsters who have taken control of the Virginia government, just as others in New York. Bill de Blasio is now cracking down on neighborhoods in Brooklyn and Queens and forcing them to close businesses on the basis of imaginary concerns about coronavirus, just as Gavin Newsom out in California is doing his best really to convert the state into a reparations factory to pay reparations off to persons who never were slaves out of the pockets of persons who were never slave owners. I mean, it's just as disgusting as it gets.
Okay, so let's stay on the legal and the law and what Jack was talking about, because I'm honed in on this. This is one of the reasons I love this show, because, and I'm going to urge you, Jim, and we can talk about it later, but to have me on for an hour, I can fill an hour with what I know and what I'm doing right now, what I'm involved in, the letters I'm writing and the controversies I'm generating going into places, because what's going on is fraud right across the board, including the media and the governors and the mayors. It's fraud, and it's clear. There's zero doubt about it. And the important point I think Jack was making about watching or not watching the media and the mind entrainment that's taking place is this is exactly the situation that we're in. Is we're not being ruled by the so-called rulers. We're being ruled by the media, and we know who controls it. And they're going along with the fraud. They're promoting it. So let's take a look quickly at just some of these decisions that have been made by some of these judges. As you know, in Illinois, there was a ruling that said it was unconstitutional. The big one in Pennsylvania, where the U.S. District Court judge ruled that the actions were unconstitutional. And there's a couple of others in the works now. And here's the situation in terms of the way to look at it. These judges can only deal with what's put in front of them. So, for example, they live their lives the way we all do, right? They go to the store, they buy food, they go to work, they come home, they watch television, right? They have no power of what's going on in the media and what's going on, in TV studios. But when a case is put in front of them, what looks like it's taking place is things are going our way because they're making decisions based upon the law and the Constitution. And so that's one of the reasons that I like this particular show, and I think this topic is key because we have to fight back using what we have at this point, which is the law. It's on our side. The Constitution is on our side. Jack talked about the sheriffs being on our side. I had a conversation with the sheriff last week because I called the sheriff's department after Dick's Sporting Goods made me leave their store in a very threatening manner. And I had every right to be there. And I talked to him for probably 20, 30 minutes. And he enjoyed the conversation. He told me, wow, I really want to see more about this because I told him I got lawsuits underway and I'm going to have more. And he wanted to know more. And he mostly agreed with me. But as he put it, these decisions are made above my pay grade is what he told me. Because I asked him, would he come out to a store and support me when I told them, the store owners or the store managers, what the law was and that they're required, to allow me in during normal business hours of operation.
Well, is this over not wearing the mask, Paul?
Oh, of course. That's it. This is the battle. We have to fight this battle.
You didn't specify that was the reason they were so hostile toward your presence.
Oh, look, you don't know what it's like in the Bay Area, Jim. I go in, I'm the only one in most of the cases. In other words, it's very rare for me to see somebody else not wearing a mask in a store. Imagine this, you're going into a Whole Foods or a Save Mart or a Lucky's or, O'Reilly Auto Part, doesn't matter. Everybody has a mask on, all the employees and all the customers. When I walk in, I do not, okay? So that's what it's like. You have no idea sometimes of what I get into, the hostility out here. 50% or more of the time, I'm left alone. But a lot of the occasions, I am immediately hassled and harassed and told I have to do this. And I say, no, I don't. And it goes from there.
Of course, Paul, you're being the victim of groupthink, of social pressure, of conformatism, and of the desire that you're embarrassing these people because they know you may well be right and they're wrong and they look ridiculous wearing the mask, and yet they're doing it. So they focus their hostility upon you. By the way, Giuseppe has joined us, and I'd like to draw him into this conversation too, but I like all the points you're making, Paul. Giuseppe, join us.
What a great show, and it's awesome to hear Mitchell pipe in. I did not know Mitchell was running for vice president, and he's got my vote.
There you go. You're going to have at least two votes, yours and Giuseppe's.
And also Jack Mullen. It's always great to hear Jack on the show. He's a true warrior champion for freedom, and it's too bad that there's so many people who can't even comprehend what Jack's trying to tell them.
Well, Paul's one of his most appreciative recipients, so I'm very glad they're communicating and sharing their thoughts and here as well.
Yeah,
elsewhere.
I mean, Paul was getting college scholarships in the womb, so they're a match made in heaven.
Giuseppe, may I just remind everybody? Yeah, so what I was going to say before I proceed further is, here's the thing about the kind of things that Jack is talking about, which is what I call, reality, real stuff. I mean, the bottom line is we all occasionally watch TV, okay, and that's fine. But when we look about in the world and we see what's really happening, okay, there's a big disconnect in most people's lives. And as I've pointed out to many people in these stores, the managers, employees, and so on and so forth, there is no governor. Anywhere I go, there's the governor is not around, okay? The public health officer is not around. It's just us. So occasionally I can reach people just by saying they're making us do this to each other with this mask. I've had citizens get mad at me because they think I'm endangering them. Sometimes I get in conversations, sometimes I don't. It depends if they want to listen. But I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, well, I just do it out of courtesy and respect. I mean, a dozen or a half or two dozen times. Well, I don't really agree with it either, but I just do it out of respect or courtesy over and over again. And it doesn't matter what I say. I go, look, what are you showing courtesy for? What are you showing respect for? A fraud? A hoax? Are you showing courtesy for having your rights being taken away? I don't get it. All right, I could go on. I'll break it off now.
Well, we're getting close to the break, but I want to bring in Scorpio, who's joined us, too, to get a few words in edgewise, and then we'll continue after the break. Scorpio, your thoughts.
Well, Jim, a great show and really, really good guest. This is a very intelligent conversation. And, you know, I would just add that Paul is right about the mask. That is the battle, because it's the symbol of submission that we're all supposed to go along with. It shows our owners, our controllers, that we're complying with this absolute hoax. And I have to say, I am seeing a lot more people that are very open to this idea that this entire hoax we're going through is just an absolute fraud, and that we need to start resisting it. More and more people. When I first started out talking to people about this, I had a lot of very negative reactions, and things are more positive as I talk to people now. I don't know how it is for Paul, but.
Well, this is like Paul reporting that out in California, or actually Scott Bennett. I think they're seeing a lot of Trump signs. People aren't being harassed. They're getting thumbs up. They're getting car honks and the whole bit when, they're being openly supportive of Trump. When the country has been so terrible and vicious to Trump supporters in the past, Paul.
Yeah, well,
I'd like to ask the guest a question after the break, if I could, please.
Yeah, we're right up against it. I know we're right up against it. Paul, squeeze in. Go ahead.
Yeah, so real quickly, when you mentioned about Trump, yeah, I do see that also. I had a conversation with a Trump supporter the other day in front of a
hold
store.
Hold that thought, Paul. We're into the break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio!
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host here with Jack Mullen as my special guest with call-ins from Giuseppe, Scorpio, and Paul. Paul, you were about to make some points. I was raising the prospect that California might even go Republican, which has been heretofore just a wild fantasy. I think it could actually happen this time around. Your thoughts?
Okay, so just quickly, because this is not going to be a long story, I want to hear Scorpio's question. But this actually reinforces my point and Scorpio's point, which is, you know, at this point in time, I don't care because everybody's wearing a mask, right? So the reason I mentioned in a conversation with this Trump guy, he's a good-looking white guy, okay, had some muscles on him because he just came out of a gym where he was wearing a mask to work out, okay? And it's like, you know, in my opinion, without getting too over-the-top passionate about this, this is what they're doing to us. It's a cuck mask. You know, I get into these altercations. I don't look for them, but they come my way. And one of these days, I don't know, I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm probably going to get stomped or stabbed or shot or something because I tell people they're morons to their faces. I call them pussies, unless they're really big, okay? No, because the thing is all they have to do is write a letter to the gym owner, okay, or write a letter to the health director of the county and just ask them, do you have any authority to require me to wear a mask? They don't. It's all a fraud. And I can't stand out in front of the gym and solicit this. I mean, I mentioned one time to this one guy come out of the gym, hey, you interested in working out without a mask? I mean, it must not be any fun there. It restricts your breathing, blah, blah, blah. He goes, well, I think it's something we all need to be doing. I go, huh? Well, you know, because of the virus. And I go, whatever, dude, just see you later. Do you see what I'm saying? Go ahead, Scorpio. Yeah.
You and Mitchell, too, of course. Mitchell, you want to squeeze a word in edgewise, you're always welcome. Go ahead.
Hey, all right. Yeah, real quick. You know, we all should realize that, you know, COINTELPRO has never ended. You know, it's been controlled political opposition really since the 1950s. Operation Mockingbird, you know, just went underground, and you know, it's this left-right march into fascism. As our, you know, we have these, I call them globetrotter elections, where, you know, not only the globalists win, but there's a selected loser every election, and you know, there's a selected winner beforehand. You know, so we really lost our democracy a long time ago. Donald Trump is the accidental president who wasn't supposed to win. And the deep state and the rest of these globalists are trying to get their government back from Trump. And that's pretty much where we're at today. And COVID-19, of course, is just another great tool to train and divide and conquer people.
Very good. I think I promised Scorpio the chance to say a few words. Scorpio.
Yes. I like that term Mitch just used, the left-right march into totalitarianism. That's great. And I just want to briefly respond to what Paul said. You know, what they're doing, I just caught the press conference of Governor Cuomo yesterday, and he was saying that he's going to start using he created a new team of code enforcers that are going to come in and harass businesses that are not complying with these mandates. And he's giving them the power to arrest people for multiple offenses.
God.
So I found that to be just absolutely, you know, stunning. But what I wanted to ask the guest and Jim as well.
There's another reason
why Clark
could go for Trump, too.
Before yes. Scorpio asks his question, just real quick interject. It's super fast. Mandate. Okay, you use that word. It's being used everywhere. Mandate, mandatory. Look up the word and see where it comes from. It's judicial. It's judicial in nature. None of this is coming from judges. These are executives. They have no authority at all to issue any law or mandate. They're not lawmakers and they're not order givers.
Oh, I totally agree, Paul. But I think, you know, I don't think legality is as important as it used to be. He's created a goon squad. They're going to have guns and the ability to arrest people. I think that's what matters. And I think we're moving to a place where we're beyond the law now. It doesn't matter what the law is.
I think you make a great point. And Cuomo and de Blasio may just be destroying Democrat politics in New York. I mean, this is just outrageous beyond belief. Jack, you're
absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Somebody had a question.
Somebody was going to question Scorpio.
Yeah, go ahead, Scorpio. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I'll get my question out here. I wanted to ask the guest and Jim, frankly, what is their take on this drama that we're seeing? It's like, you know, President Trump supposedly caught COVID 33 days before the election. That could be a coincidence, but I doubt it.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, how do you see this whole thing? You know, it's like he was sick for a day and then they gave him a bunch of really expensive pharmaceutical drugs. Now he's fine.
Yes.
He's going back to the White House. And how do you guys see this drama? It just seems completely fake to me.
It might be. I mean, a friend of mine pointed out that he was going to be quarantined for 2 weeks, which meant he got out just the day before the next debate with the Joe Biden lookalike. And, you know, there are reasons why it does look as though it may be politically beneficial to Trump, getting a lot of sympathy from some people and others, the Democrats coming out saying they hate him and want him to die, which is about as disgusting as it gets, but there it is. So I do think it's going to have some benefits, but, you know, there's also, was it Jack who was talking about it, this being a 3-day scenario, you know, vis-a-vis the resurrection, you know, he goes in on a Friday. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty stunning stuff too. So, Jack, why don't you pick up on that?
Well, the number 33 is being used an inordinate number of times in this coronavirus thing. I mean, if you do a little simple Google search for coronavirus and 33, it'll blow up your browser with references to unbelievable numbers. 30. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
33 cases over and over. 33 cases.
33 elderly patients died today. The 33rd patient dies. I mean, this is all straight in your face.
You think they're trying to tell us something about Masonic involvement here?
Well, they're clearly telling us that. And they're clearly signaling to their brethren that this is part of the false flag operation, that, you know, this is as a little snicker, mockery. I study mockery in this thing, and mockery is everywhere. I mean, we're made fun of. Just wearing a mask is mockery. I mean, it is a medical mockery. It is scientifically insignificantly stupid. I mean, it has no value at all. It can't prevent any kind of thing, even if diseases were contagious. I mean, you can take a vape, one of those vape cigarette things, and suck in the aerosol and then blow it back out, and it comes straight out those masks. There's no protection whatsoever. They're not sealed in any way, shape, or form. Your eyes are wide open. Your tear glands are open, and it's just ridiculous. So wearing a mask is being mocked, and I it's part of this psychological weapon that they're using. It's psychologically, traumatizing the people wearing the mask. And of course, you know, the idea that distancing means anything at all. I mean, where'd they pull that number out of their rear end, except that the average person might be about 6 foot tall, or some people think it's because you're standing so that the new AI machines or computers or systems can monitor you in a way they could never see you before. But the thing about it is, these are all arbitrary nonsense numbers. And therefore, you know, every time you're trying to stand 6 feet, or you walk into a restaurant without your mask on, have to put it on to get into the place where they seat you. And then when you get to your seat, you can take it off. If anybody thinks that that is anything but absolute mockery, it is the funniest, most ridiculous hilarity. I mean, and each person is being mocked. And
It is. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
I think Jack is dead on with the idea that it's all a psychological operation. If you think about it, everything that occurs, the sheeple being willing to put on the masks, the sheeple being willing to put up with the false left-right paradigm to be controlled by these internationalist Jew parasites, it's all because they acquiesce to it. I mean, if people woke up, there's nothing that a couple thousand parasites could do. If people woke up and the sheriffs guided them, we could have this country back in a second. It's all a mind rape to the great masses to not realize that's all it would take.
Yep. And, you know, a sheriff can raise a posse, and some of those sheriffs down there, and I believe it was a sheriff from a county in Texas, said that he had 100, and now I may be wrong about the state, it might have been a California state, but he said he had 150 members of his posse and wanted to increase it to, and no, it was actually Seattle. It was Washington State. And he wanted to increase it to 250. And he said, you know,
God, I love the sound of that.
He said this is basically building a constitutional army that he can call up, and they're deputized. Yeah. They have some limitations about when and where they can be acting the way they do. But regardless, and that's outstanding.
Right.
I mean, so it's a militia that we're allowed to make still. And so I agree with you. You know, that's all it would take is a handful of white sheriffs in the proper places.
Yeah.
And boom.
I'm fantasizing about the posse now. You don't even need 150. Let's just say we get a posse of 50. A posse of 50 to storm the compound in which Bill Gates lives and secure his capture. A posse to do any number of any things other places. God, that's just a dream. Oh, I want to sign up.
Very nice. Very nice. Scorpio.
Yeah, that's a great point your guest just made. Really, really astute. And yeah, I want to see a posse form. That's what we need, because it's going to come down to force. You know, if you study history, when events like this come down, it comes down to force and who's willing to submit and who's not. It's going to be a physical confrontation at some point.
Fascinating.
Boots on the ground. Yeah, that's all we're coming down to. Yeah, go ahead.
Giuseppe, your thoughts.
My thoughts, I think that I would welcome the day when people who, instead of feeling spineless and acting spineless and feeling guilty for being white, would wake up and say, we're the decent majority in this country and in Europe, and we take back what is rightfully ours. You know, the great geography of the world is there for all the other races, and you know what we have earned is the United States, Canada, and Western Europe, and we should take it back.
Jack,
hear, hear,
Jack. Before I go back to Paul, Jack,
I want to speak to Paul in a sense that we're being controlled by fear without question. And this is something that is disabling, you know, large groups of people right now from acting as a group. And next, we don't have leaders. And so what this comes down to, this is coming to a battle of the individual. This is down to one. Each one of us has to understand that this is an individual battle. We're coming into this great awakening, and just being here at this time and being able to understand the world is amazing. We have to control our fear. We have to get over the idea that we might be called a name. We can't be part of the sheeple herd anymore. And I think that these people that are willing to stand up and do that can take down this system simply by just saying no. I mean, this thing is large enough now that if there are enough of us that just say no, it may not be necessary to, you know, begin a battle with guns. But if we allow them to keep us in this sheeple position until the food runs out, then even though we have guns, it's still going to be a difficult problem for people to fight back because they have no resources. And believe me, that's currency when they destroy it. When they say it doesn't work anymore, that'll be overnight. And most people haven't made preparations for that. They're not out buying cryptocurrency and gold and silver and any other things of value like land and tools and food supplies. So, you know, we have, as you and me, Paul, and the others in this group, we have, well, I guess we're just different, but we have to do it. We stand up when we're not wearing a mask. We try to explain to people why we're not wearing a mask. I have flyers on the blog.thegovernmentrag.com that I hand out to people. I just made a new one now based on the article, Isn't It Time to Stop Pretending There's a Pandemic, with all the recent data on the statistics about, you know, what COVID is and what PCR tests are and what medical people are saying about this, and do what we can as individuals. At least if we die in this battle because we stood up against the vaccine, we know we tried. We did something. If you go forward and just go along to get along, you're never going to get your world back. Your life is only going to get worse. Every day is going to become more miserable until you're wearing a burqa or something similar and bent over, worried about your social credits because you can't get on the bus to go home.
You're not going to believe this, but the New England Journal of Medicine says people refusing mandatory coronavirus vaccine should be severely punished, locked in their homes, and fired from their jobs. How disgusting is that? Mitchell has some thoughts. I want to bring him back in. Mitchell.
Well, yes, Jim, the New England Journal of Medicine came out with that. They're on board with everything. You know, seeing, you know, and Jack was rightly pointing out this fear campaign, which is, you know, when I was up at the VA hospital, I just looked at everybody and says, why is everybody so paranoid? You know, if last year I'd have come in here and done this and that, you know, you'd have sent me to the head doctor and see how bad I was shrunk. Today, it's all normal. It's crazy. But, you know, I call it, it's a psychological placebo effect. And, you know, we know the physical placebo effect and the idea of our body or our mind willing itself healed happens about 30% of the time. So, you know, you're looking at the psychological symptoms, you know, of people and, you know, between the COVID and the politics, you know, people are lost and they're lost in that, you know, that psychological psyop that they're being subjected to.
Scorpio, before I come back to Paul, Scorpio.
Well, again, I think your guest made another great observation that we are not going to get our world back if we just keep complying. There's no question about it. Just look around. I'm seeing more and more signs that this is intended to be long-term. I've seen lots of videos from different cities where there is a metal sign with wear your mask, slave, on it that's been bolted into the sidewalk and looks pretty permanent, you know. That and, you know, these plexiglass sheets they're putting everywhere. And windows, and this looks like a long-term event. So, like the guest said, we cannot keep complying and expect to get our world back.
Paul.
Yeah, so, you know, I wanted to do more of the legal stuff. There's not a lot of time left, but there's a couple of highlights I may hit. But for now, I want
to react to what
we just said about the New England Journal of Medicine saying this or that, posse. How about the Center for Disease Control, posse. National Institute of Health, posse. CNN headquarters, posse. But before the posse, beer at the tavern. J.P. Fetzer's Bar and Grill. Look it up.
Sounds like a damn pot. I like it. Giuseppe.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
Jim, addressing the total worthless New England Journal of Medicine, which has got as much credibility as when we used to get the Sunday newspapers, that slick, glossy magazine called Parade that was inserted and the articles read like it was news, and it was nothing but a paid-for ad, and that's what the New England Journal of Medicine is. That's what Lancet's in UK is. They're so paid for and owned by the big pharma criminal syndicate. Keep in mind that not only did the New England Journal of Medicine say such a traitorous statement, but a couple months earlier, they were all critical of hydrochloroquine because it wasn't profitable for their masters. And you just expand that focus to the big agri-criminal syndicate, the big government, the military-industrial criminal syndicate, the banksters, the biggest one of all, and there is the root of the problem. And I think not just posses, but we need battalions of people trained like Otto Scorsese Jr. to go in all those and take care of business with all the CEOs, the boards, and get rid of these low-life subhumans who are ruining our lives in this world.
Paul, go back to the legal issues. Go back to your legal issues, Paul.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to taking care of business, too. But, Giuseppe, I'm 175 pounds right now. I can move. So you start working out. We'll talk about this.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so just quickly, you know, we can write letters, among other things. It's amazing what you can accomplish, and you can put people in very uncomfortable positions. And that's what I'm doing legally. I'll just give you a quick example of what I got right in front of me right now. Okay, so Dan Bain, CEO, Trader Joe's, already received a letter. I've already received a response from his legal representation at the company. Stefano Pessina, all right, Walgreens, letter sent. What's the other one I got here? Greg Johnson, CEO of O'Reilly Auto Parts. That's going to go out today or tomorrow. I'm just quickly going to read the basis of this. They're all one page. Everything I do is one page, okay? When I file the lawsuit or the complaint, it's maybe going to be 4 to 6 pages. So here's the questions that I ask that are very uncomfortable and they cannot answer, all right? One, is it your policy or O'Reilly policy to not sell to me or to not allow me in your store unless I wear a face mask? Two, if the answer to that question is yes, are you relying on any law, code, or statute in making that policy? Three, is it your position or that of O'Reilly that company policy takes precedent over California law? Now, see, that's the kill shot question that they cannot answer, because if their policy runs contrary to California law, they got problems. So they're not going to admit it. So just quickly, this is only going to be 2 to 3 sentences. Most of these letters are quite short. This is what happened with O'Reilly. All right. On October 3rd, 2020, at approximately 8:05 a.m., I entered the O'Reilly Auto Store located at blank. I had just purchased a bagel across the street without having to wear a face mask. Neither the bagel shop owner nor myself broke any laws in this transaction. I got no more than 6 to 8 feet inside of your retail store when I was approached by store manager Juan Valdez. Made that name up. He told me I had to wear a face mask. I asked him if that was a law or store policy. He said yes, it was by the county, and it was also store policy. When I asked if he knew which law this was or if he had any personal knowledge of this law, he seemed confused by the question and said all the information I needed was posted outside the door. But in any event, I was not allowed to shop there without wearing a mask. I informed Juan Valdez that I wasn't aware of any law that imposed such a requirement, and I was pretty sure that California law secured my right to shop there. I also mentioned that the information he referred to posted outside was titled Protocol, and made no mention of a law. After a brief reading of this material, which originates from the office of the county health officer, I determined it required nothing of me. He said, quote, "Look, at this point, it's pretty obvious everybody knows you need to wear a face mask." This, and then I mentioned, this is audio recorded on my cell phone, by the way. After recently looking through the Everybody Knows code, I was surprised to learn this. For clarification, I asked Juan Valdez, if I wanted to buy an item from the shelf and bring it to the register for purchase, would you then not sell it to me? Would you refuse to ring me up without a face mask? He said, that is correct. Wow. Then I go on, I say, Greg, this is the CEO, Greg Johnson. Greg, since policy usually comes from the top, I am writing to you in hopes of some understanding. At your earliest convenience, sometime in the next 21 days, would you please take the time to answer the following questions? And I just read you those questions. So at the top of the letter, it says, notice California Civil Code Section 18. So trust me, when these guys get a letter like this, they know where it's going to go, and their legal department is going to get in touch with me, or they're going to ignore it. When they ignore it, I'm going to follow up. And sooner or later, we're going to either talk about money or we're going to be in court. Because the best way to go into the legal system is as a plaintiff. Eustace Mullins said that long, long time ago. He said, the legal system is hell as a defendant, but if you're a plaintiff, it can be fun. So, and I got so much more than that, but hopefully that was enjoyable.
Paul, that was wonderful, and I think Jack has just given us another sensational show. All you guys have just been terrific, every single one of you. Scorpio, you came in last, as it were. I wanted to give you another shot at it if you've got further thoughts you'd like to add.
Well, we're almost at the top of the hour. I just think it was a great conversation all the way around. I think everybody made some great points, and I'd like to thank your guest. His perceptions are just spot on.
Yeah, that's terrific, and I was eager to get him back here. Let's see who hasn't had an additional shot at it. Giuseppe, a further thought of yours.
I think Jack Mullen was a fantastic guest, and it's always a pleasure to be part of a discussion with the boys at J.P. Fetzer's Bar and Grill.
love it. Jack, you were just sensational. This, you were the guest. You get the final word, my friend. Go ahead, tell us.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate your kind words. You know, this is only a matter of just taking the time to look into this stuff, and it's something that I feel in my heart and I've had in my gut since I was a very young child. I mean, literally, I was different than the rest. This just didn't seem right here. And so anyway, I enjoy coming on the show, and I hope that if you want to keep up with anything that I have to say, it's thegovernmentrag.com and blog.thegovernmentrag.com. And I still have a Facebook page under the name Steel Liberty, which is they took down my first page, of course.
Jack, I can't take it up. All the callers, terrific. Giuseppe, Dr.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.